Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 14th of January, and I'm recording at 10:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Now, plenty of choppy action taking place here again today, and it's playing on investors' nerves, clearly, as you can see from the television financial channels and also the press articles on what markets are actually doing. And it has to be said that when you start getting a very choppy broadening type pattern or a number of those choppy broadening patterns on stock market indices that have been enjoying a bull market of a number of years, it's generally not good news. And at minimum, it indicates a lot of indecision or differing opinions leading to that choppy action within a range. Okay, there are a lot of things that investors have been worrying about in here, and one of them is the oil price, which I still maintain is net more bullish, far more bullish than bearish. But the gains are more diffuse and the problems pop up more quickly. And for instance, for the U.S. economy, I think it is more of a concern because the U.S. is virtually independent now in terms of crude oil, but the low prices will certainly restrict the big expenditure in terms of hiring and particularly equipment, oil drilling equipment, that was moving to all the shale oil sites in use in the U.S. And indeed, it will almost certainly lead to some closures and possibly bankruptcies of some of the firms that had borrowed more heavily to develop their shale oil production. So that's an understandable concern. But overall, I think that people take the oil price as an example of deflation. Well, yes, it is, strictly on that basis. But is it a negative deflation or is it a positive deflation? And I think the fact that most of the world, which imports oil, is able to operate its machinery from automobiles to heavy machine operations, that much lower energy costs, which they're now seeing, is a positive deflation. And that's not being considered to its full extent, I feel, by investors. I've said this before in audios over the last week or so, and I've also written about it to a certain extent. But the point is that the wonderful and exciting rate of accelerating technological innovation does have a deflationary effect, but it is overwhelmingly a positive deflation generally. And that's again to repeat the point, that's not fully understood, I think, by a lot of investors. And the net result here is that we are still left in this uncertain, choppy environment where bearish forecasts are coming out, and that raises the possibility that we see a somewhat bigger correction. I mean, one concern that I think was really quite important that I have written about today and produced an article on this topic today is that there was a lot of tension between the ECB, the European Central Bank, particularly Mario Draghi, who is, of course, president of the ECB, and Jens Wiedemann, who's president of the German Bundesbank and was previously on the governing council of the ECB. Those positions change on a regular basis by rotation. And he was opposing the ECB's plan, Mario Draghi's plan, to do whatever it takes, I should put that in inverted commas, that comment, which he first said in 2012, and he wants to do it again. And effectively, that means bring on QE to the amount of at least a trillion euros. So that's a chunky sum, and would certainly increase the ECB's balance sheet. Now, the the EU Court of Justice today came out with a decision that really almost certainly opens the door for Mario Draghi to proceed, although we still have not had the full meeting with its governing council. But it's now much harder, I think, for the governing council. And they will meet with the ECB on the 22nd of this month. But I think Draghi is hung in there. We know he's hung in there. I think he's got what he wants. And that means that some of the fears, which I commented on, that Draghi might resign, that would be very destabilizing should that have actually occurred. And I think that risk now has virtually disappeared. And I think that we will see plenty of QE coming from the ECB, despite Wiedemann's and other German monetary officials' objections. And whatever you think of the euro and its viability and whether or not the European Union should even have a single currency, certainly the possibility of a breakup or a Draghi resignation that was adding to some of the uncertainties and anxieties that markets are experiencing right now, that risk has virtually been removed here, and that's another bit of good news. Okay, so what happened today? Well, the red was dominant here for stock markets, and all these European markets are down. I'll just run through a few of Asian Pacific stock markets, rather, are down, and I'll just run through a few of the bigger numbers. Japan was down 1.71% on the Nikkei 225. The Hang Seng fell less than 0.5%, and China A shares are also less than 0.5% down. So not much there in the China region. Australia down almost 1%, and Indonesia down just over 1%. But smaller declines than we see in some of the other markets. European markets, which had a good day yesterday, and I mentioned in yesterday's audio that they'd be weak here today because they closed while Wall Street was still showing a good gain yesterday, and of course Wall Street lost that gain. So some big declines, including the UK, and that's because it has listings of some very big miners. Rio Tinto and BHP, also a number of oil companies. So the UK FTSE 100 index down 2.35%, the Euro Stoxx 50 down 1.41%, the banks index also similarly weak, and declines all in excess of 1%, and a number in excess of 2%, including Stockholm. I see looking at my screen. Now, we also had weakness on Wall Street, but and it was really quite sharp, with the Dow down over 300 points at one stage. Now, it pegged that back considerably. The Dow still closed down over 1%, but the S&P really did reduce those losses, closed down a little over 0.5%, and the NASDAQ a little under 0.5% lower. So that it certainly recovered a chunk of those declines. And again, the South American markets, I think they were all lower in here today. Now, In terms of government bonds, this was certainly interesting. The U.S. 10 years fell to 1.78%. That was a new low. And then they closed higher than that at 1.85, which is just about exactly the level of the October low, which was of course broken here earlier today. And other government bond yields were mostly lower in here today. Now, in currencies, the dollar index gave up a little ground, but it's still above 92. And among individual currencies against the US dollar, well, the euro is actually fractionally steadier, 1.1790. The Australian dollar is just fractionally lower, 1.8, I beg your pardon, 0.8155. And sterling is a little bit firmer here, 1.5233. The Indian rupee and the Chinese renminbi steady-ish against the dollar in here. The dollar index advance is overbought, and there are some concerns on the part of exporters who have done very well, the big autonomy exporters, which have worldwide businesses, of course, but those are getting consolidator profits from those overseas activities. Are being reported and consolidated often in U.S. dollars and lowering profits for those companies. And then also with the U.S., the retail sales were a little lower than had actually been forecast. I wouldn't read too much into that. Overall, my own impression was that it was a reasonably good Christmas in terms of sales, but not a really positive super blowout type of year, and nor should we have expected that overall. Now, elsewhere in these markets, industrial metals were lower, and copper was sharply lower, although it then pegged back those declines. It's shown closed here at $2.50 and change. That's down 13.85 cents. It was down as low as 242 and change. So quite weak. Precious metals swung around a little bit, but ending lower. And the big hit was in palladium. Interesting. That's down nearly $40, back to 776. Platinum lost $13, down to $1,234.60. Remember commenting on that yesterday, and also silver yesterday, saying that they are up near their range highs, prior resistance from the range highs. As silver, which had a high on the day of 17.095, closed down over 30 cents at 16. Point eight $16.84. Gold bullion was the steadiest overall, but down slightly at $1,229 and change. The industrial metals, it wasn't just copper, they were all weak across the boards in here. Now, the same was not true for crude oil. It was weak early on in the day, but then we got a strong recovery here, and the WTI, for instance, last traded at $48.47, 48.47, after 45.01. So that's up almost $3.50 from the day's lows. Not enough for an upside key reversal, but it was a good day here. And Brent, which I looked at a few minutes ago, just trading at $48.61, and that had seen a low earlier today of 45 $8.59. So a reasonable bounce, and that probably helped Wall Street to peg back its lows somewhat. So we still have a very emotional environment in here overall. I mentioned those broadening patterns, and while those are far more obvious when you look at the European, so most, at least most of the stock market European indices, including the big ones for the Euro Stock Index and the Euro Bank Index, drawing from all of Europe. The UK, a similar pattern. In the US, we don't have that many broadening patterns. Obviously, the Russell 2000's been doing that for well over a year, and it's still at the higher side of its overall range. But we did have that big inconsistency in December when we had that correction that for the S&P came in just short of 10% to the downside. And if we were to come off much further from here, that and cut below the MA, currently the S&P is a little above its 200-day rising MA. But if it were to pull a little lower in here, we would see the characteristics of an overall broadening pattern a little bit more clearly. Nervous environment, you may recall me saying in late year-end December that we were overbought and likely to see a consolidation spilling into January. Well, we're certainly seeing at least that. I don't think it'll be a rout. It could possibly turn into a 10% correction, but I think there's more good news than bad news out there. But investors may not quite be seeing it that way, particularly in the U.S., which is of concern. And the U.S. benefits less from the lower oil price than other countries. And also, the U.S. Economy will be not quite so strong as people were expecting in the third and fourth quarters for 2015. I'm saying it will not be quite as strong as they were expecting in 2015 because the very weak oil price will cut into those profits and all that capital expenditure that was occurring in the oil industry, and there will be a little bit of profit erosion due to the strength of the US dollar. But net it all out, and there's still more bullish factors around than bearish factors. Interest rates are really quite low. Certainly, the technological innovation is a huge long-term advantage, but hey, investors are nervous and markets are volatile, and that's what we've got. If we do see a further corrective phase in here, I'll be doing a little bit more nibbling, but not yet. And on that note, all the very best to. Oh, by the way, also my apologies here for not connecting the audio commentary for my presentation that I gave on Monday. That is now all in working order and available to you, but I apologize for that delay and frustration that it may have caused you. All the best to all of you.